Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri podcast by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
We've all heard that the majority of Americans treat their pets as members of the family. But did you know that the percentage of Americans who feel this way has declined? It used to be up around 85%. Now it's dropped down to 65%. That got me thinking about that simple phrase that has almost become a cliche, pets as family members. What does it mean if you perceive your animal as a member of your family? How do people relate differently to members of their family? If we think in terms of the dependent nature that domestication imposes on our animals, that would be an individual somewhat akin to a toddler with ultrasonic hearing, diachromatic motion-sensitive vision, incredible sense of smell. What does it mean to treat an animal like that? Bamboo, my cat, gave me a good example of what it means. He went out on one of the rare sunny mornings not too long ago, went around the yard and down to the garage and did his usual thing. Or rather, I thought he was doing his usual thing. So when I heard his usual announcement of his arrival, when he threw his 10-pound body against the front door, I came down from the office and I opened the front door. There he was. Only he had a stripe of some sort going from his neck almost to the base of his tail. I reached down and picked him up and stroked him, realized it was oily. It had no scent to it. But automatically, I knew it had to go. In a very short period of time, I filled the kitchen sink with warm water, grabbed my thickest, largest bath towel. I got my shampoo. I got my cup that I could use for rinsing. Everything was in place, I would say, in a matter of maybe 2 minutes or so. And then I picked up the cat, and I placed him in the sink, and I wet him down, and I started to wash him. In retrospect, I did this so fast that neither the cat nor I had a chance to think about it. I lathered him down several times, I rinsed him off, took him out of the soapy water, and I put him into the sink full of clear water, and I repeated the rinsing process. During this time, he resisted. And in the back of my mind, there's a spectator who's watching this and is saying to me in a fortunately very tiny voice, "Are you nuts? Do you have some sort of death wish? Do you see what that cat is doing? Do you see his claws? Do you hear the noise coming out of him? Do you know that the only thing that is standing between you and certain death is the Vulcan death grip you have on the scruff of his neck?" But it was like something playing on a television, some dialogue from a horror film, playing in low volume in the living room some distance away. I completed the task, and I wrapped Bamboo up, slop and wet, in one end of the big fluffy towel. After one end of the towel was also slopping wet, I somehow rolled him down to the dry end and snuggled him up there. He relaxed, and soon he began to purr. That's what parents do. You don't stand there and watch while someone you consider a more vulnerable member of your household gets into trouble. If they grab something they shouldn't grab that could potentially harm them, you don't stand there and tell them to drop it. You don't look around for something to bribe them. You take it away. If they threaten to harm someone else, you get between them. You don't just stand there. You don't just whine, "Oh, that's not nice." You make it clear that this is not acceptable behavior. If necessary, You take the hit or the bite yourself. That's what parents do. So maybe that's one of the reasons why fewer people consider their pets members of the family. Perceiving pets as members of the family includes parental responsibilities. It includes adopter responsibilities. It means sometimes doing things that we don't want to do. It means that sometimes doing things so automatically, like getting between that animal and someone or something that wants to hurt that animal so fast that you don't have time to think about your own safety. You just do what needs to be done. And then after you've done it, if you want to collapse in a heap and sob or vomit, you do it. But not until you do what needs to be done. That's the responsibility that goes with parenthood. It's not an all positive experience. No way. But I'll tell you, when I finished bathing that little killer cat of mine, and he was snuggling in my arms upside down purring, it was worth it. Even if he had clawed me, even if he had bitten me, to know that I had made him safe and kept him safe, even if it caused him some discomfort at the time, it was more than worth it.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.